to The Breakfast Show on Faith FM. It is now our third hour of the show today. If you've missed the first couple of hours, you can go and check out the episode as it's released a little later today on our website or on our Faith FM app. Make sure you check that out. Right now, we've got another quiz question. Quiz number four for today's show. Number four.
All right. An easy one for you.
Yes, please.
Fill in the blank. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the blank news of his salvation from day to day. We have correct answers in studio.
That's right.
0491-064-669. That number again, 0491-064-669. So we're doing a fill in the blank here. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the blank news of his salvation from day to day.
Where's that one found? Sir?
Psalms 96, verse 2.
There you go.
There's nothing as intimidating as this is an easy one.
I was like, am I actually going to fail this? That's what went through my head. I was like, no. No, I got it though. Alrighty, cool. Let's jump in to our, actually, before we jump into our encounter with God, we're going to be looking through 1 Corinthians in a moment, but I think we have some different comments that we want to read out. So if you were following along earlier, you might have heard me. In fact, starting yesterday, I've been asking for people to comment in at least an emoji. Let me know that you're listening. Just like give me something. And yesterday, you know, we got a smiley face. We got a thumbs up. And I was like, that's great. But what I was imagining was something more like a palm tree or a pineapple, like something a little bit more creative than just like your basic everyday usage emojis. Because with one of my other bosses, I have four casual jobs, guys. one of my other jobs, I work at a little bookstore at the university library. And when I clock in, I let my boss know that I'm there and I send him a random emoji. I came up with this system and now it is a game that we play. So I'll send a random emoji and there's like a few hundred emojis to choose from, like whatever, like suits my fancy. And then he'll send me one back and we'll kind of play a little game. We'll try to like make a riddle out of it or figure out, like I sent an abacus yesterday and he sent back some like music. And so he was talking about ABBA from the 70s, right?
Okay.
So like we just make up funny things. In fact, a few months ago, I sent him an asteroid, like a little comet,
yes,
emoji, and he sent back a T-Rex and a tombstone.
That's cool.
Obviously, it's not from real history, but it is the narrative that is out there in evolutionary science. But it was just a funny little thing that we do. So I enjoy playing with emojis and I'd love for you to join in my game with me. So if you're listening and you want to join in, you just want to text us in some fun little emojis. I asked earlier today if you can send in what you're learning from the Book of Esther, but in emojis. And so we've gotten some responses here and we had Peter message in. There was an image that we had with a whole bunch of emojis, but they're Bible stories. So there's about 10 different stories in
Old
emojis.
Testament characters.
It's like a quiz. So yep. If you want to see that.
I'm not sure. I've been trying to send it on, but that isn't working. But if you do want to see it, let me know and I will do my best to copy and paste it. Because, yeah, it's really, really fun.
It is so fun. I've seen this done at like kids' events in the past. You know, everyone's calling out what story they think it is when they put up just like five or six emojis on a screen. You're like, what does that mean? And yeah, it's a good time. So we also have a message from Kay saying that she loves our banter. Always great to listen in. Nice to hear from you, Kay. Let's see. Am I missing any? Kay also says there's an amazing library for children. Library for children to have books.
Yeah, that Josh mentioned that one too, that Dolly has done. Yeah.
Yeah, she loves Dolly. Awesome. She says, Zach Williams and Dolly Jewett, there was Jesus.
That's coming up next.
Oh, is it? Awesome. Wonderful. Now, Chris asked, when did Dolly die? I'm guessing it was overnight at some point.
Yeah, I would say that it only just happened before our show started, as far as the announcement anyway. I mean, when she actually died, but when the family announced it was only just within an hour or so before the show.
Yeah, it was top of the news feed when I was looking this morning. So very, very recent, sad news. All right, we've got Janelle sending in a smiley face and a thumbs up after I said we got smiley face and a thumbs up yesterday. So thanks for sending that in.
And did you see her Esther one that she sent through? It was very, very good.
When was that? Was that earlier? Do I need to scroll down?
Well, when you asked for people to send through.
Oh, yes, I did see that. Oh, yes, I did. I hadn't scrolled down that far at the moment. So she's sent a woman with a crown and then a man with a crown and then it looks like a ninja. And then there's like two different types of cakes and puddings and then there's a cup of wine and there's praying hands and then there's like the starry eyes emoji, smiling emoji with the star in your eyes and then a love heart.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. King and queen and the bad guy and like banquet and prayer and everything going well and happy.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a really great one. Thank you so much for interacting, Janelle. I want to see more of these emojis coming through as we talk today. What else? Am I missing any other messages? I don't want anyone to be left out. Let's see. I think that might be
I think that's
all.
It, yeah.
I think that is it. Okay. All right. Well, if we see any more, we will let you know and we'll read out your message on air. So make sure you text us in. We love hearing from you. Okay. Now let's jump in to our encounter with God. Today we're finishing off First Corinthians. We're in chapter 16, the final chapter of this letter to the Corinthians by Paul. What's going on, Josh? Tell us.
So First Corinthians chapter 16, we can sum it up in one word, stewardship.
Okay.
And what's another word for stewardship that comes to your mind?
Look, I know what stewardship is, but I feel like it's a Christianese kind of word.
Yes.
I don't think the average Australian really uses the word stewardship.
Yes.
So I would probably think of it more like financial responsibility or being responsible with the resources that you have.
That's so good. And I would like even to take it beyond just financial, but it's faithfulness with everything.
Mm, yeah.
With everything that you have and everything that you are.
One of the resources that you have is your health.
It's your health.
So how can you be good at managing your health? Do you want to eat chips and ice cream every day and sit on the couch and scroll on your phone? Or would you rather to be a good manager of the health that you have for the long term? Do you want to lift weights? Do you want to go for a run or a walk or eat healthy food with healthy fats and protein and, you know, do everything that you possibly can to learn about the human body and look after it? Yes. So that's stewardship of your health, stewardship of your body, but there's also stewardship of finances. And other things in our lives. Yeah.
And I think one of the greatest other bits that we can be stewardships of is our voices.
Ooh, our voices. I love that, you know.
Of your voice.
That's really, really good.
All right, so let's dive in and let's look at this concluding chapter of 1 Corinthians. Lindsay, would you read for us verse 1 to 4?
Oh, before we do that, Janelle has sent in another set of emojis. She's got the regular smiley face emoji and then the upside down smiley face emoji, you know, where the eyes are underneath the mouth, but it's smiling. I love that one. It's such a little awkward smile.
That's awesome.
So good. All right, now let's keep reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 from verse 1. He says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also." So he's already sent off some instructions in a different letter or to another group.
Yep.
He's like, "I've told this to other people. I'm telling it to you as well. On the first day of the week, so Sunday, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me."
Okay. Thank you so much, Lindsay. And here comes the Sunday issue.
Yeah. No, I've seen a lot of the time certain Christians who believe that keeping the Sabbath is a good idea, but it's not Saturday because that's a Jewish day. Instead, they have this idea that there is evidence in the New Testament that Christ has now asked for keeping the Sabbath on Sunday instead of Saturday.
Yeah.
That this is one of those proof texts.
The proof texts, yes.
But what does this
actually talking about. It's really important before we start proof texting things that we understand the context of that proof text so we get it correct and so we're applying it appropriately, that we are being good stewards of the word of God, that we are rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes, and please share the background and educate me as well on that one.
Yeah, okay. So from what it seems, these are Paul's concluding statements. He's like, I've shared this whole letter about unity in the church and order in worship and all the other things and believing in the resurrection, all these doctrinal things, right? And now he's like, I've got some final things to say, some practical stuff.
Right.
Before I come, before, you know, we do all the final greetings and whatnot. He's like, okay, there's some people who are in need of support in Jerusalem. All the churches in Minor Asia, like in Turkey today, are willing to give of their financial resources for those who are struggling in Jerusalem, the Christians particularly. So, hey, I hear you guys are generous. You want to offer some of those resources, but let's have a system in place for this offering so that it is not burdensome and doesn't seem to surprise you and come all at once when I turn up or when you all of a sudden decide you need to send the money off to Jerusalem, that everyone has to like dig deep and be like, oh, I've got moths flying out of my wallet or whatever. There's like nothing in there because you weren't planning ahead. Right. Okay. So this is about planning ahead to give and be generous in the church. Okay. So he says, concerning the collection for the saints, I have given orders to the churches in Galatia, I'm telling you as well, on the first day of the week. Now, at this point, throughout history, the seventh day of the week is the Sabbath, from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. They didn't mark time from midnight to midnight. That is a new invention in the Roman period onwards. So the first day of the week is Sunday. Sunday would be the first day of going back to work after your rest day. This is the beginning of your working 6-day period.
Yes.
It is not the sixth day. It's not Friday. It's not you get to the end of your work week and you see what you have left over. Yep. This is about being intentional and planning ahead and setting things aside so that you have that ready to go. And so you're not overspending in all your, you know, getting your coffee or getting your extra little crusty loaf of bread down at the market. Maybe that's what they were doing. I don't know what they were spending the extra money on. Like, what was the extra little things? Yes. That you just kind of trifle away. Instead, he's saying, no, before you start spending your money, whatever money you're starting off your working week with, from that first amount, put stuff aside.
All right.
So that it's not going to cause a burden and you're not just giving the dregs. Back in Genesis, we have this issue with Cain and Abel. Not only was Cain only offering fruits and vegetables, which was not the type of offering that God was asking for. However, it says that Abel gave the first and the best of his flock of the sheep, which is the appropriate offering. So he gave the first and the best, whereas Cain only gave whatever was left, not the best. Yeah. So there is a sense that God also wants the first and the best that we have to offer when we are offering to God. He doesn't want the dregs. He doesn't want the leftovers. Yeah. It's a sense of how are we honoring God with what we have, prioritizing him, honoring him with how and being intentional.
You know, and thank you so much, Lindsay, for putting that so nicely. But also here, if you look at what Paul is saying about stewardship, he is not begging anyone.
Mm.
He is more or less telling them to do something that they already know needs to be done.
Yeah.
And but if you look at some of the challenges we have today with stewardship finances, and people are begging for people to give to the cause of God.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a challenge.
I've been to some church services where they put on a whole show, song and dance, and then they ask for a collection for some type of charity. That's not what he's recommending here. No. He's saying just be intentional and have systematic giving in place. In the Adventist church, which you and I are a part of, we have a systematic benevolence a program where we set aside our tithes, and then on top of that, we set aside any exceeding offerings that we choose to give. So for me, I've set for myself, I always give 10%. In fact, I get my employees to take it out because they're the church organization. We have a system where they just take the 10% off. I don't even have to see it.
Yes.
And then on top of that, I give my offerings as well.
You know, talking about that, I do exactly what you do, but
yeah,
it freaks me out because I always feel like,
You're not even touching it. You're not even thinking about it.
Yeah. So I'm getting accustomed to it.
Yeah.
You know, because previously I used to get the money and then I would then take it to the church, you know, and do the transfers. But now it's just done automatically, which is good as well, you know. And so let's look at now how we then carry on with the element of stewardship from verse 6 up to verse 11.
Okay. Well, I'll go from verse 5 as well.
Okay. Yep.
Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. That's, I'm going to do it, guys. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. But
okay, let's just stop there for a moment.
Okay. Yeah.
Did Paul, do you think Paul had a house in Macedonia?
No.
He didn't have a house.
I don't think he had a house anywhere, really.
He did not, right?
He was just living on the road.
He was living on the road.
He was staying from house to house and living with his church friends.
So imagine he writes a letter and says, oh, guys, I'm in Brisbane, but I'll be in Currumbong, you know, in the next few weeks, and I may stay there for a month or two. I'm not so sure for how long.
Just imagine, let you know in advance, I'm coming. Somebody, but get a room ready.
So
for
imagine,
me.
Imagine the members discussing now. So who's gonna accommodate Paul? I mean, where is he gonna stay? You know, things like that. So yeah, it's very important to see how people were open with their homes and everything. This is faithful stewardship, right?
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And you're now going to get a quiz answer from producer Shell and our final quiz question for this morning.
Yes.
Okay, Shell.
All right. Our answer was good.
Good.
Everybody good. did good with that one.
Good.
The answer was good news. That's right. Proclaiming the good news of his salvation. All right. We have another quiz question that's coming from Psalms. This one's coming from Psalms 146. What happens to a person's thoughts when they die, according to this psalm? What happens to a person's thoughts when they die? We have a correct answer and a right answer, but it isn't what the passage says. But it's still what happens. But not according to Psalms.
It's not word for word, the word she's looking for. Man, we've got a lot of technical.
Now, I think that it might be in some other version. So I'm going to let you have that one. No problem. 0491-064-669. 0491-064-669. There's a lot of passages that talk about this, but yeah, this one in Psalms 146 specifically is saying what happens to your thoughts when a person dies. So if you know what that is, please text us in.
Awesome. Well, we've had some more people texting us in. Janelle sent us another smiley face emoji, but this one's a big grin with like the cute little eyes that are like little circles. Anyway, and then we've also had Davo. He's requested the book. We're giving out our giveaway book, Beyond Death's Door. He's saying he's thinking he would love to give this book to his uncle, who his wife went to sleep. So she's passed away and he wants to encourage his uncle with this book. That's so beautiful. Let's jump into the rest of our encounter with God with looking through 1 Corinthians chapter 16.
Okay. We finished off, I believe it was in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we were looking at Paul and the idea that he just tells the church that, hey, I'll be coming over, wanting to stay a bit longer with you if the Lord allows it. And he's got no home of his own in Macedonia, but he knows that the brothers and sisters there will look after him and he will be accommodated. What a wonderful thought on stewardship there. And so we carry on, I think, verse 8.
Says, but I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries.
Okay.
So when he says he's going to stay until Pentecost, it's not like the Pentecost where everyone received the tongues of fire and the Holy Spirit on their heads. It's just like the same time of year.
Same time of the year. It is normally Pente is from
50 days after.
Yeah, and cost is literally passing. You know, so Pentecost 50 days after the
passing of that event.
The Passover.
Yes, the Passover.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what we see here. Now, so, but let's look at the situation that Paul is faced with here. There's an opportunity, but there's a challenge. Do you see it in verse 9?
Yeah, verse 9 says, "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries."
Ooh. So what is the great and effective door that is opened? An opportunity to do what?
To share the gospel.
To share the gospel,
yeah.
Right? But then
he's got a new place that is open to him, that they're happy for him to go there, yeah. But there's also other people who have issues with him.
Exactly. So Paul is not fazed or intimidated by the reality that wherever we are called to preach the gospel, we'll always be faced with opposition. And oftentimes we think opposition is a reason to withhold the gospel message. But Paul really was always spared by the great opportunities of people being saved because of hearing the gospel message, right? So again, an element of stewardship and faithfulness that we see there. So verse 10 to verse 12, please, Lindsay, if you can read that.
Verse 10 says, "And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren." So he's sending Timothy, who's a young guy, and I believe at the beginning of one of the letters to Timothy,
yes.
He says, don't let anyone despise your youth. Yeah. So he's saying, don't worry about the fact that you're a really young guy and like you're not considered old enough to have authority. Like you have authority. The Holy Spirit's given you authority. And now he's telling the first, like the Corinthian group of Christians, he's saying the same thing.
Yes.
Don't give him a hard time, guys. Yeah. He is a gospel worker. He's my good mate. You better leave him alone and make sure he's well received.
Yes.
Be nice to my friend Timothy.
And his willingness to go.
He's there to share the gospel. Yeah. Like, be nice.
Yeah.
I know he's a young guy, but just calm down.
He's being used by God.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. What does it say further?
"Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time." Mm.
Again, an opportunity to go, but then he's quite unwilling. There's a consistency of faithfulness there. Mm. It's not like he's not willing because he wants to stay and just do something that's not connected with the gospel message, but he probably had other engagements that was also committed to and did not think it the right time for him to go at this particular point in time. So he was going to wait for a convenient time and then he would go and be with the brethren.
Mm.
Right. And so we are winding it up now from verse 13.
Verse 13. Says, "Watch steadfast in the faith, be brave, be strong." Kind of reminds me of Joshua chapter 1.
Yes.
You know, be strong and courageous. He says that about 3 times in that chapter.
Yeah.
But here we are in Corinthians. He's just telling the Corinthian people, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love.
Okay. So let's quickly talk about watching.
Hmm.
You know, because Jesus says, watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation.
Ooh.
So when we're being asked to watch, what are we watching for?
Well, I'm not going to say it's watch the TV
mm-hmm.
or watch reels on Instagram or watch the footy at the local field or watching your kids is a good idea. You should you should make sure nobody steals them. We were talking about that a bit yesterday.
Right.
What it's saying is be on guard.
Be on guard. Be on guard.
Be vigilant.
Be vigilant.
Be aware of the fact that Satan is sneaky and he's going to find any way, any chink in your armor, any temptation that you are a prey to, that you're weak to, that is a cherished sin. It's a habit that you haven't been able to quite kick yet.
Yes.
Something that you keep going back to. Watch out. Satan knows that about you and he is going to tempt you in a weak moment. Yep. So you better watch.
And the best example for somebody who watched for me is Jesus Christ, especially in Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
In Gethsemane, if you think about it, Jesus was watching for 2 things. The first thing that he was watching for was the surrounding situation. He knew Judas had gone to bring in his buddies who were going to apprehend Jesus. But he also watched his own personal struggles.
Yeah.
And so he prayed, "Father, if this cup passes away, if it's possible, take it away from me." So he was watching about his frailty and he knew that he needed to be connected to God. So when we watch, we're not only looking at our immediate surroundings, but we're also allowing God to watch how we are faring in our Christian walk, whether it's mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We should always be on the watch, because when we are not on the watch, Satan, like you said, Lindsay, he has a loophole that he can access us and cause us to fall.
Yeah, and even if you're on guard and you're watching and you're trying really hard to avoid temptation and sin, a lot of the time Satan has been so deceptive from the very beginning, and he likes to whisper things in your ear about your identity and try to convince you that you're not good enough, that you're not strong enough, that you've done this one terrible thing in the past and God's never forgiven you. You have to like work really hard or you'll never get there, or why even bother trying? You know you keep falling into that sin over and over. Like, why even try to get rid of it? Like, you know, it's just going to come back again. I remember I had that thought in my head when I was about 12 years old. There was a computer game that I liked to play a lot. And I played computer games like every day after school. And to one point, it got to the point where I was like, I felt like I was becoming a murderous person because of the type of games that I was playing. And it wasn't even a first-person shooter. It was like strategy, you know, kind of games and stuff. I'm like, I can't wait to take over the board sort of thing. And I felt convicted to get rid of it and not play it anymore. And then a few years later, I put it back on my computer again. And like, it got to the point where I would get convicted and then I'd delete it. And then a little while later, a few months or a couple of years later, I would put it back on the same, just couple of games, right? And waste hours of my life on these games. And it got to the point where I was like, well, why even delete it? Why not just like stop using it for a while? Because I know I'm going to re-download it in a little while anyway. Like, I've done that so many times. But you know what? I have overcome that.
Praise God.
And it doesn't have to be the truth. That was Satan whispering in my ear as a teenager about computer games that I was addicted to. And he does that in so many different ways. He's not exactly super creative. No. He knows the same kind of things that he can do to us over and over. Once we figure out what he does, then we need to have scripture that we can quote, we can identify it with, we can quote it to the point where we're like, I am choosing to live this. This is what Christ has done. He has set me free from sin. He has given me everything I need to resist the devil so that he will flee from me. I don't have to be anxious. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be stuck in my sin because he has made a way of escape for me. That's he will awesome. Always make a way of escape. And so as you read scripture, as you see these promises, you need to actually choose to believe them and identify with them and fight back.
That's watching. And
that is praying. Being watchful.
That's being watchful, because watchfulness leads you to seek the Lord's blessings to give you victory over the things that you're facing. That's what I love what you've just shared there. All right, let's carry on. And we are on verse 13.
Verse
13. We're going to go to verse 14.
Yeah. It says, let all that you do be done with love. Echoing First Corinthians chapter 13, where the greatest of these is love. If you do anything but you do not have love, if you're a spiritually gifted leader in the church but you don't have love, it's all for nothing.
It's all for nothing.
If you have prophecies, if you can speak in the other languages, whatever it might be, but you're not a loving person with the love of Christ in your heart, what's the point?
Yeah.
So he's echoing that here in his final thoughts, like, guys, I hope you didn't forget that. I hope you didn't like zone out halfway through the sermon, have a little nap during 1 Corinthians 13. No, let me tell you again, do everything with love. 15 says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. So these are the names of certain people, certain households. These are Christians. They are leaders within the church.
Yes.
He says, these are good guys. I recommend to you that you listen to them. You obey the teachings that they teach. Like, I'm specifically giving you people to listen to so that you're not going to be drawn aside by other people who might be false teachers or not the best.
And he says, for what was lacking on your part,
they have supplied.
And you see, so people are connected, or we are a body of believers, and we are there to edify one another. Stewardship again comes through here.
Yeah. And he says, these people, they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. Like, these guys are worthy of honor and of regard in your community. Yeah. They're good people. I trust them.
Imagine being refreshed.
Refreshed.
Yeah.
Have you ever met someone who's refreshing to your soul? Yes.
I've met Lindsay.
Oh, you know? That's too that's sweet. That's refreshing. Aww. Too cute. You know?
So let's carry on and wrap this up.
The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord and the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Should we talk about the holy kiss?
Yeah, let's talk about the holy kiss. Yes.
What is the holy kiss and what is it not?
Do you know there's a sect, a Christian sect in Southern Africa. I'll just say maybe from Central Africa to Southern Africa.
Okay.
They actually greet each other with a kiss.
On the cheek?
On the cheek. But okay. It's only men as well.
Oh, the men, only men. Greet each other. Yeah. The women don't greet each other with the kiss?
I've not seen women do that, okay. But men tend to do that.
I'm a very affectionate person. And so with my girlfriends, not all my girlfriends appreciate this because they're a little bit like, what are you doing? But like, I'll give them a hug. I'll give them a kiss on the cheek. Like, it's a holy kiss. But for me, I'm just like, that's a regular, normal, okay thing to do. But I guess not everyone is comfortable with it. But Paul's like be affectionate and loving towards each other, not in like a weird sexual way at all. Like he's dealt with that at the beginning of this whole letter to the First Corinthians. He's saying, stop having, you know, a guy sleeping with his stepmom. Like that's illegal. Don't do that. Don't allow that to continue in the church. But he's saying, be affectionate with each other. Like be friendly, be kind, be gentle, be loving towards each other. Like we're a Christian community. We're a family. Like treat each other like brothers and sisters. Like would you kiss your brother on the cheek? Yeah.
Now, you know, my sons used to give me a kiss on the cheek, but they don't do it at school anymore. They do it at home.
Yeah, I don't want to be embarrassed in public.
No, they don't want to be embarrassed in public.
You can't kiss him. He's yucky.
Fair enough.
I love affection.
Affection is good.
Alrighty, where are we at?
We are at verse 21 now.
21. The salutation with my own hand, Paul. So basically he's probably got somebody else writing this. He's dictating it to a scribe. Yes. But at this point he's like, this is my signature.
Yes, I'm not signing off yet.
And then 22. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Interesting. Amen. He says, if people don't love Jesus, let them be accursed.
Let them be accursed.
That's a bit random.
That's to be lost without any hope of salvation.
He's not fully cursing them. Like he's like, we're all already cursed if we don't love Jesus.
Yes.
It's like, let them continue in being cursed if they don't choose Jesus. Anyone who's listening to the sound of my voice right now, if you have not given your life to Jesus, if you're not in love with Jesus,
yes.
You are living under a curse that is a natural result of you just being born into this world right now.
Yes.
But Jesus has made a way for you to escape that curse. If you have had witchcraft in your life and you have curses upon your life, Satan has tried to curse your life. Jesus is the answer to that curse. All you need to do is you need to reach out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I accept your gift of your life for mine, and I choose to love you. And that will break the curse over your life right now.
And he closes that verse again and saying, Maranatha, Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We have got a quiz answer for our very final quiz question.
Indeed, we do. The answer to that one is perish. According to Psalms 146, what happens to a person's thoughts when they die? Those thoughts,
they perish.
I write cease.
Cease is good.
It's stop. You
just
don't
when
have...
I first saw it, it just stumped me. But once I thought about it for a second, I'm like, yeah, that's the same word. Yeah.
When you're dead, you're not thinking thinky thoughts.
Yeah.
It stops. Yeah. I like saying thinky thoughts. I don't know where I heard that a while ago, but it's fun to say. Anyway, we have had a really great show today. We've been celebrating the life of Dolly Parton.
Yeah, did that last song make you a Dolly fan there, Josh?
It was, it was powerful.
Such a good song.
He's alive, she sings, while she is not alive.
Jesus is the one, that, because he is, the rest of us can be eventually.
Exactly.
Interestingly, that was something that was discussed at my doctor's office yesterday. Because one of the reasons she said, well, of course we go to heaven because Jesus went to heaven. And I'm like, yeah, but
how does that work?
3 days later.
Yeah, logistically. Well, no, Jesus even went to heaven, what, like?
That's right.
A while
that's
later.
That's right. But he like came back to life 3 days later. And
yeah, he came
right.
back to life, yeah.
Yep. And all of those who were raised with him just lived out their life still on earth. They didn't go to heaven.
And
they
Jesus,
just lived longer and were able to testify and then
And Jesus even died. Said to Mary, don't touch me when they were at the tomb because he says, I have not yet gone to my father.
That's right.
So he hadn't, like, it's clear in the text that Jesus didn't go anywhere when he was dead. And then he was resurrected.
Yep.
Like, he was just there. He never went to heaven.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. Anyway, what is your favorite part of today's show, Josh?
I guess it was being introduced to Dolly Parton and
yeah.
the music and all the things that she's done and how she's had an impact on society.
Man, you're a little late to the fan club.
I am.
What about you, Shel?
I'm going to have to say the same.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I certainly wouldn't say it was my favorite part of the show, but no. I'm glad we got to talk it through.
It's been a beautiful part of the show, even though it's not
I'm getting a bunch of text messages from friends like, oh, no, how are you doing? Because they know that I'm a Dolly fan.
Yeah. Hey, we've got Sky messaged in saying, hi, team. This current song is a banger. What is the name, please? That song, what was it called?
She must have just tuned in with us. Yeah, so that was by Dolly Parton, her version of it anyway. I think the song was written by Don Francesco, but her version of that song, He's Alive.
Yeah, Sky continues to say, it will probably be on rotation of earworms other than being on Oh, Where Is My Hairbrush? I love that. That is quite the earworm. That comes from VeggieTales, if you weren't aware. And she continues to say, I wanted to say also, thank you for sharing your struggle previously with video games. I'm praying lately God leads me to deal with my own weakness and show me exactly what it is and how to have strength. I like to watch YouTube and TV episodes to unwind, but a lot of things I have to say, okay, God, this is not right to watch. I need his help. I 100% agree with you, Sky, and I have struggled with this, obviously, since I was a child with computer games, and also I've really struggled with social media addiction over the years because it's designed to give you that dopamine hit. It's those short, quick, within 3 seconds, it's got your attention. Otherwise, you're going to lose attention and scroll to the next thing. It's designed for addiction. And the best thing I can do is delete things off my phone, delete things off my computer, and not go near it. There's still ways around having deleted things, unfortunately, but it certainly makes it a lot harder for you to get into that. But the best thing is having the Holy Spirit to help you overcome that.
Yes. And
but in the process of the Holy Spirit dealing with that in your life, you also need to do the practical things that are going to help yourself by putting boundaries in place, by having accountability, by putting limits on the usage of your time in these ways, by also substituting. There's a part in the Bible where Jesus talks about a demon who's been kicked out of its house.
Yes.
If there's nothing good left in that house, then it's like it's all swept and clean and ready to be occupied. So that demon comes back with seven friends who are even worse than he is. So it's so important that when we get rid of an addiction or a bad thing in our life or a demon, that we invite the Holy Spirit in. We invite and we in the space that is left in our life, that space where we get into addictions or watch TV or Instagram or whatever, that we do something productive with that time instead. That's going to benefit us. So, hey, so glad that you guys have been following along today. We've had a really, really great show, and we invite you to come back and continue to listen again tomorrow and interact with us. But remember to talk faith, live faith, and act faith, and you will grow strong in Jesus Christ.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Counsel's guide uphold you, with his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Until we meet again at Jesus' feet again. God be with you till we meet again.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.